engaged in a couple of messages that have been focusing on holiness. And it's a hard topic for a sinner like me to delve into. I don't know how you feel about it. I just can't stand the fact that we stumble through this life on the road home. There's a song out there, there's a highway of holiness based on a passage in Isaiah. It says, none can go up there but the pure in heart. And the Lord is after a bent. He's after a trajectory. He's after a reaching. He's after a pursuing. He's after an apprehending. An intentionality on the parts of all of us to apprehend that for which we were apprehended. And why were you apprehended? Why was I apprehended? Why did he lay hands on me and save me? To conform me to the image of his dear son. And so our job is to take obstacles out of the way so that that process can be sped along. And so I have artfully entitled the sermon today, The Special Work of Mortification. It's a fancy word that occurs in the King James in Colossians 3:5. It says, put to death, therefore. Well, in the King James, it says mortify, which means put to death. It comes from the Greek word nekro, put to death, disable. Put to death, therefore, Colossians 3:5, what is earthly in you, or in the King James, the members of your body. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, over in Switzerland, it has been legal, assisted suicide has been legal since the 1940s. And there's a gentleman, last name Nitschke, who began to develop a machine in 2017, I think he started. He thought it would be ready for operation by 2021, and it was used this year. It's called a Sarco pod. You've seen those commercials for pods where you can move your belongings to the next residence you're going to live at, and they drop a pod on your property. Well, this is a different kind of pod. A Sarco pod is a tube that is otherwise known as a suicide tube. So picture laying in a recliner and just kind of laying down in a recliner and a cap, a cover, comes over your face. And while you are encapsulated in this tube, the machine begins to ask you questions. The last question it asks you is, do you want to die? And to answer, you push the button. And what is infused in that tube is liquid nitrogen. And liquid nitrogen has the effect of evacuating oxygen out of the cavity quickly enough so that you don't feel the anxiety of suffocating, but that's really what's happening. You're suffocating to death. And what's in view here in this passage is put something to death, putting something to death. And how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you put what is described in Colossians 3:5 to death? Well, you do it in a similar fashion. You cut off what allows whatever is alive to exist. You cut off the oxygen to the sin. And how do you do that? Well, the salvation, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, He installed in us, He abolished in us the power. He abolished the power of the evil nature to control our physical bodies and make it mandatory that we sin with our physical bodies. So how do you kill immorality in general? That's what it's described in Colossians 3:5. When you hear the behests of your evil nature, your evil nature is still making behests or commands. Your evil nature is still the dirty old man in the back seat of the car saying, do that, do this, do that. And the only way you can kill that is to not obey it. Every time you look where you're not supposed to look, you're obeying it. Every time you hear something you're not supposed to hear, you're obeying it. Every time you view something you know you're not supposed to view, you're obeying it. You're obeying what? The behests, the commands of your evil nature. You are free as the believer to decide to put to death that which the scripture here is asking you to put to death. So again, the verse begins, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We're going to go down the passage here. We'll end in verse 17. For you have died, verse 3, I'm sorry, on account, verse 6, of these, the wrath of God is coming. So God is very angry about these things. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. So he's acknowledging that you walked, but you walked mandatorily. Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. And now he gives you more things, not just the sexual immorality that he's talked about in general in verse 5, but now he's going to say this. Anger, wrath, malice, fits of anger, wrath, I'm going to get you back, vengeance, that's what it means, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Verse 9, now he's talking to Christians in Colossae, and it's in the present tense imperative, and it means that they have been continuing to lie. They're still lying to each other. He's noticing that, and he's commenting, do not lie to one another. And isn't that true? Sometimes there's things we've brought from our old life into our new life, and we're still practicing those. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So put on, envelop yourself in the Lord, put on His mind so that it's indiscernible, that you think just like He thinks. It's indiscernible that where you leave off and He comes on, because your mind is like His mind. Put it on and let it envelop you, be engrossed in it. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian. Now, a barbarian is someone that barely can talk an unintelligible language, and a Scythian is more barbarous than a barbarian. They're worse than a barbarian. Slave, there's no slave, free, but Christ is all in all. In other words, I, Jesus, invade and permeate and encamp in all spheres of life. Distinctions go away for the sake of this conversation. Put on then, verse 12, as God's chosen ones and holy beloved. So, the special work of mortifying or putting to death sin in your lives, of participating and hastening the process of you being conformed to the image of Christ, is one done the way I've already described, by saying no to those things that you were so habitually saying yes to that you forget that you can say no. You're like the elephant who's handcuffed to the podium. He doesn't know that he can just pull away. We're so accustomed to living a certain way that we forget that we have the freedom to live otherwise. But it's not enough for us to mortify the deeds of the flesh or mortify the proclivities of our evil nature. We also must put on some things, and that's what the next part of the passage will transition us to. Verse 12, put on then, after talking about how to put to death the things that need to be put to death, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now, this is a command. He's not saying, you know, I recommend that you put this on. No, it is an imperative. He's commanding you to do this. Put on then, God, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And if I'm humble and meek before my God, guess what I'll be before you? You won't say, man, I like Jay, but he's kind of arrogant. What you'll have in your mind is going, you know, he's kind of humble and meek. It's to the degree that that's true, right? But here's what the scripture is telling us. I want that to be your persona. I want that to be your reputation, humility and meekness and patience. Some of us are not patient. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. There, you know what? Sometimes I'm irritating. I don't know how it is. I irritate my wife a lot. I don't know how it happens. Sometimes I just wake up and I'm irritating her. But you know, I try to be pleasant. But you know, you trip over your own shoelaces every now and then. But we have to bear with one another. Sometimes we are irritating, aren't we, to others? And it can be somebody you really love. And we just are like that. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. We talked a lot about forgiveness in our last time together, our last little series together. And that was a very important moment for us. We were reminded in the parables we looked at of the man who would not forgive his servant that owed him money. We were reminded that passage is powerful, and it's really saying to you, if you don't forgive those that have come for your forgiveness, you're not going to heaven. You know some people that haven't forgiven. You know some people like that. They don't think they're going to hell. They're happy as clams. But that's how serious that is. So forgiving one another, just another reference to it. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And verse 14, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So you could do all of these things that began to be instructed for you to do starting in verse 12, but you could actually pull it off without being loving. and it will be ineffectual. You'll be like a sounding gong, but you're not resonating. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, this part of the passage coming up is huge. It's all huge, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it says, right? Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's how he will guide you. It's how he will steer you towards the goal line. Remember, the goal line will not move. It's Romans 8:29. Who is called, he also is predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the goal. But how he gets you there most effectively and efficiently is through his word, and he uses the words you know. He uses the words you know. So the advantage of knowing more about his word and acting on it, being a doer of it, not just a hearer of it, is that God will guide you more easily and more profitably and more effectively, because you know his word, because you're following it. Thy word is a lamp, Psalm 105, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And so your path is lit, and you're following a well-lit path. And he guides you. He said, behold, I'll guide you, Psalm 32:8, with my eye. So I didn't want to just talk about putting sin to death, because that's kind of a heavy topic. But holiness, as we conclude our time on that subject, holiness is not about stopping something, but it's about building something in its place. And this whole passage that we looked at here today in Colossians 3 begins by telling us things we need to put to death, but then continues on to tell us what we need to add. And you may say to yourself, well, it says add kindness. I'm not kind. I'm not this, you might say. And so you go to be kind on purpose. You say, well, I feel fake. Well, that's how it will feel because you're not used to it. But it doesn't mean it's fake. It just means you're not used to it. Put it on. So it's spiritually legal for you to put on what doesn't feel like it quite is genuine yet. Put it on. It's a command. And then also, keep your way clear. What is it that, it's folly for us to look at a movie that has a bunch of steamy scenes in it, or listen incessantly to music that has lyrics that suggest all kinds of things that you know you're not supposed to listen to. It's folly to practice things that you know will just create bondage for you. It's folly for you to then believe you're going to rise up from wherever you took in all of those inputs and then walk as a holy person. It's just not going to happen. It will not happen. So, holiness is a big topic. We're not done. Sanctification is kind of a replacement word for it. But I think it was fruitful for us to spend the 3 weeks that we have looking at that very important topic. And remember, the key verse that we looked at was Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man/woman will see the Lord. So if your eyes, if you think that, remember when Job said, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will see him with my eyes and not another's. My eyes are going to lay gaze on that God that I believe in. And the scripture here says, without a pursuit, an ardent desire and pursuit of peace with all men and holiness, you're not going to see him. So just be revved up about that. And praise God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for direction. Thank you for teaching us that as we don't belong to ourselves, what needs to be put to death and what needs to be put on. Give us the grace, Lord, to follow that instruction. I feel my feebleness on all of it, even as I speak the words that we've shared here together. But Lord, you're gracious. We ask you to pull us along by your grace in Jesus' name.